We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back here to 560 WQAM and welcome to the 5 o'clock hour. Greg Likens alongside Brian Monroe in for Hawk and Crowder. Our final hour of radio before we get to the weekend here. And we hope everybody is doing well. Appreciate you tuning in. Reminder that Hawk and Crowder will be back on Monday. And by the way, hit the 5 o'clock hour. That means it's the Funky Buddha Happy Hour, which is always a good time. You hear that and you hear Funky Buddha. That sounds like a great mix for everyone's weekend, right? Now, Brian has said he doesn't drink a lot of beer. So I've actually figured out a perfect solution here. So, Dan, there's more beer for you and I. So, like, Crowder always keeps a secret stash around here of his Funky Buddha. And, you know, you and I just have to unearth it. And then it's a great situation for us because Brian doesn't want any part of it. I'm sure he would love Funky Buddha, but he just doesn't drink beer. But you and I can take full advantage and have more for the rest of
us. The three of us make a great team. I'm liking this.
Really do.
We've got good odds.
If Funky Buddha made some whiskey, I'm down.
They do have that beer that's whiskey barrel aged. That kind of tastes like carbonated whiskey, which is really good. Don't knock it till you try it.
Nope.
It's got like 12% in it, 12% alcohol.
Nope. I'd rather take 35 or 42 from my crown, baby.
Well, I'm the opposite.
I'd say we'll make a good team.
Not a huge fan of the whiskey. I'll have the beer, and yeah, that's actually that fits and that complements each other better than Russell Westbrook and James Harden on paper, at least.
I'm a team player though. Even if I show up to a party, I always bring beer, even though I don't drink it.
Okay. Well, next time you show up to a party, bring some Funky Buddha.
There you go.
It'll be, you know, just the remnants from being here on the Hawk and Crowder show, filling in for the guys while they're on vacation. So I would imagine that come Monday, Crowder's going to have a bunch of Funky Buddha fueled stories to tell us.
I bet.
Yes, I can just imagine. All right, so we got a lot to get into. I want to mention that later this hour, Barry Jackson from the Miami Herald will join the program. He's out in Las Vegas covering the Summer League, but he has been all over with multiple reports regarding the Russell Westbrook trade situation and now the Chris Paul trade scenario. For those who weren't tuning in to the tail end of last hour, Barry tweeted this, per league source, Heat doing due diligence on Chris Paul, but there is no aggressive pursuit on Heat's part, unlike efforts to get Westbrook before his trade yesterday. So that is refreshing to hear. Just to reset that story, of course, you have Westbrook going to Houston and Chris Paul and some draft compensation going to Oklahoma City. And so now Adrian Wojnarowski has said, hey, the Thunder want to trade Paul immediately, and they're working with his agent to try to get that done. The Heat, apparently a possibility to acquire Paul, but for Miami to consider acquiring a player due $124 million over the next three seasons, you'd have to imagine the Thunder would need to give the Heat heavy incentive, giving them maybe their draft picks back that they've acquired, you know, kind of in a roundabout way, or more than that, who knows, but you know, as we pointed out last hour, such a move would make it impossible for the Heat to sign a maximum free agent outright in 2021. The only thing they could do is trade for a disgruntled potential 2021 free agent in the next 18 months in such a scenario. So Paul, who's older than Westbrook, he's not as productive or as durable. He averaged 15.6 points, 8.2 assists for Houston last season while shooting 41.9% from the field, 35.8% on three-pointers, and he has not been durable to the tune of this. He's appeared in 61, 58, and 58 games the past three seasons. That's 69 games missed over the last 3 years. And he's still owed a ton of money, $38.5 million next season, 41.3 the season after that, and 44.2 the following season there. So, with that being said, Brian, you've got a scenario where the Heat, yes, could get involved here if they are motivated by those future draft picks, but that doesn't sound like a Pat Riley move in my book. And if you don't go after Chris Paul, you're talking about a roster that has Goran Dragic and Dion Waiters likely starting at guard. You have Adebayo at center, Jimmy Butler and perhaps Kelly Olynyk starting at forward. Then Justice Winslow is your primary point guard off the bench, Tyler Hero, Derrick Jones Jr., Myers Leonard, and James Johnson, Kendrick Nunn, Duncan Robinson, some combination of those players at the end of the bench. That's what you're looking like for this upcoming Heat season. And to me, I'd rather go in the season with that lineup than a lineup that is a little watered down and has Chris Paul in it at his advanced age with his diminishing statistics and with his massive contract. The Heat don't need that. They've already had a great offseason just by shocking all of us and getting rid of Whiteside and adding Jimmy Butler. If you can get a Russell Westbrook, you get a player of his caliber, that's one thing. But Chris Paul, to me, just that does not mesh with what the Heat want to do now or in the future.
Yeah, I said it before. The only way that I would take on CP3 right now is if you give me enough draft picks that I can flip it or somehow move it in a three-team trade with Washington and bring down Bradley Beal. That's the only way. I don't want his age.
That would actually be great if they can do that.
If one person can pull it off, it's Riley.
Yeah.
So if there's some way they can finagle that deal where you're talking about bringing in the draft picks, CP3's contract, and being able to move it and give draft picks to Washington and bring Bradley Beal down here, great. Round of applause. Let's go into the season. But if you're telling me you got to take on CP3's deal plus his age, and now it handcuffs you for the 2021 class that could potentially be very special, I don't want it. I just don't want it because bringing in a CP3 to this team, this roster, is not going to elevate you, in my personal opinion, to a top three, top four team in the East. So that means you're going to be 6, 7, or 8, 5, 6, 7, however you want to put it, potentially be out in the first round, and now you're handcuffed to get a superstar or a younger guy in 2020, maybe disgruntled, or 2021 where it's a very special class. Nah. Chill. I trust Riley, though. I trust Pat that he's going to do the right thing. He's going to listen, which he should. He should listen to all deals and see how he can work the system and how he can work and improve this Heat team. And if it's not right, just don't do it.
The other element to this, which you brought up earlier in the show, for those who missed it, when we started, we were talking about this, and you hit it on the head, that he has seemingly, I don't want to say he's been disgruntled, but he has been a guy that hasn't necessarily been the best teammate, Chris Paul, as well. Right?
Everywhere he's been.
Everywhere he goes, you hear these stories that the other star players or the lesser players, they're butting heads with Chris Paul, and it's his way or the highway. And you can get away with that when you were an all-NBA first-team player, say 10 years ago. But, now that you're at this point, and yes, the contract would indicate he's a superstar. And in certain ways, he is a superstar in the sense that he's marketable. We see him on all the commercials, all this other stuff. But the play and performance on the court is not the same as it used to be. And so that's the other element of this as well, Brian, because in theory, to get Chris Paul on the Heat and have him and Jimmy Butler together in one off season, it's like, wow, you got some big names. That's attention grabbing. That will get butts in the seats. That's interesting. But in general, it's like if you have this young core that you weren't willing to completely give up, supposedly, for Russell Westbrook, and you're getting Chris Paul in a locker room with Tyler Hero and Justice Winslow and Bam Adebayo, based on the track record, he doesn't seem to be the type of guy you want them learning from, based on the way he's handled himself at his various stops.
Yeah, no, and you hit the nail on the head. You're saying if you're not getting up the young talent for Russell Westbrook, who's 4 years younger, more explosive, coming off of 3 seasons of triple-doubles in a row, why would you do that for Chris Paul at 34 with 3 years left in his deal? Now, if he had 1 or 2 years left in his deal, cool, because now his money gets off the books and you can sign a max guy in 2021. But that's the scary thing to me, is that 2021 class and not being able to get into it and dive into it. But people say, the sign and trade. Yeah, it's going to be hard to sign and trade a 36-year-old point guard that's getting, 44.2, I think you said, his last year?
Yeah, the last year, 44.2, exactly.
That's going to be hard to move at 36 years old. So if it's me, I'm staying away from this deal. The only way I'll stay with this deal is if you give me enough picks that somehow the miracle that I know what's not going to happen is you can get Bradley Beal with those picks, and here comes a pig flying over the studio right now if that does happen. Because that ain't happening. I would love it to, but we can all dream.
I'm dreaming about it. Trust me, I'm dreaming about it. Okay, let's get to the next part of the conversation, because I think people are probably still surprised at how things turned out with Russell Westbrook, right? Like, we talked all week about Russell Westbrook and the Heat. And that it seemed like it was going to be a foregone conclusion, just a matter of what the terms were going to be. The Heat weren't in a rush. They were the only ones in the mix. And then come to find out the Rockets not only were in the mix, but also came to the table with a better offer. They sweetened the deal with the draft pick compensation. And so I don't blame the Thunder for taking that deal. What I do wonder is, should we be blaming Pat Riley for not trying to capitalize in this situation? Like, where do you reside in this? Because we were really enthusiastic about the prospect of adding Russell Westbrook, but now that didn't happen, do you think Pat Riley and the Heat organization missed out on a golden opportunity?
Personally, yes. Only because I would have taken Russ and given away whatever they wanted, as long as it wasn't all my guys. But if they wanted those young pieces, I would have given them just to be
right, so
competitive.
The report was two of the three of Justice Winslow, Tyler Hero, and Bam Adebayo.
Okay, and we see that they wanted to keep Hero and Bam.
Yes.
And to me, it's funny, we talked about it, how all of a sudden these fans went from, how the heck do you draft that dude, to, no way, you can't put him in the trade, over a couple summer league games. So it's funny how that works.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not the one studying film on all these guys. I'm not the one watching all the practices and know everything about them. Pat Riley and the coaching staff is. So they know more inside information than the rest of us do. Right. So if they say we're sticking to our guns, we're not desperate. We like our team moving forward. We don't want to handcuff ourselves moving forward. If you want to find a better deal, go do your thing. And you know what? They called your bluff and they want to find a better deal. But if you look at that deal that they got from the Rockets, you can't say no to that. I mean... To me, it'd be interesting if they said, okay, we'll give you Bam and we'll give you Justice. Or we'll give you Bam and we'll give you Hero.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what deal they take, that or the two first-round picks from Houston and the swaps.
Yeah, it's a really good question, because as we've noted, the Heat didn't have any draft picks to give up.
Exactly.
Just the young assets along with the contracts that would add up. So you're right. So what would have been more attractive? Like, how does Sam Presti view the young guys in the Heat? Would those be more attractive pieces in a deal for Russell Westbrook than the future draft picks and the pick swaps that are in there? It's a great question.
I don't know.
I guess we'll never know. But yeah, I mean, I have to look at this and say that this will be, you know, we say this every year with the draft, especially the NFL draft, and like with the quarterbacks, it's like, okay, this guy went one, this guy went four, this guy went 10, and we're going to evaluate them throughout the entirety of their career. For example, like with Dwayne Haskins and Daniel Jones being in the same division.
Oh, that's going to be fun to watch.
Right, you're going to be watching those guys forever. They'll be linked, like those draft classes. Even in the NBA, the top picks, it's like, okay, Zion, RJ Barrett, John Morant, those guys will always be linked, and we'll be monitoring their progress to determine if a team messed up and didn't make the right pick, all that other stuff. I think we can say the same in this regard, that we'll be watching Russell Westbrook in Houston. And if he adapts his game, if he becomes a terrific complement to James Harden, and they go on to win the Western Conference and appear in NBA Finals, we could all be sitting here in the playoffs next year and be like, dude, the Heat didn't want to give up Tyler Hero or Bam Adebayo along with Justice Winslow to make that work? Are you kidding me?
And that's the West.
That's the West.
We're talking about the East without KD for 1 year.
I hope we don't live to regret this.
Oh, God.
I really do. But this is one of those where I have to try to balance this.
Yeah.
Because part of me says we should all just be satisfied that the Heat have returned to relevancy with the Jimmy Butler acquisition and that Whiteside's gone. Like, that was well above our expectations of what could potentially occur. But so you get into this mindset where you're like, okay, that happened. Well, what's the next domino to fall? And you kind of get a little greedy, right? So I don't want to underappreciate that. At the same time, because you have to strike while the iron's hot, because this pops up so quickly, looking at it now as it's happening, it's like, man, did you miss out on a huge opportunity to have your duo, your dynamic duo for the next 4 years playing in Miami, creating buzz, creating that excitement we haven't seen in a number of years, and making runs into the postseason? I don't know. Time will tell. But right now, I'm feeling disappointed that Russell Westbrook is in the wrong shade of red uniform over in Houston as opposed to here in Miami.
Yeah, I was definitely disappointed when I heard the news, because I wanted him to be with the Heat and the excitement that brings back to that arena. But, you know, we're so spoiled down here, right? So we didn't expect anything to happen. We get a big-time player and Jimmy Butler to come here. We got a contract no one thought we'd get off the books. And we're still not happy. You know, we want more.
Right.
We want more. And it's like,
well, Heck, I brought this up a couple of days ago, and I was like, at this point, we're so far down the road with these reports. Will it just be a sheer disappointment if the Russell Westbrook trade doesn't happen? And it kind of feels that way, doesn't it?
It does feel that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. And but it feels worse now. They're like, yeah, now Miami's in the CP3 talks. No.
Yeah, it's like,
please don't.
Miami doesn't have to be in the mix for
no,
all these
we don't.
Trades.
We definitely don't have to. Yeah. And again, unless Pat Riley has a bigger plan where he can finagle his way with some draft picks and go get Bradley Beal. If that's the plan, I swear I'll streak down Biscayne Boulevard in front of American Airlines Arena.
Whoa. Are we saving this tape here?
Hey, Dan Day, listen to this part, too. I will pull a beast if I have to and get out of the bet.
Ah, okay. There you go.
Oh, I'm not rolling tape anymore.
That's just leave that part out. That didn't happen. We'll erase that from the record. Brian, let's take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We're getting a lot of texts. 560-22, Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. People chiming in about Westbrook, Paul, the Miami Heat. Plus, want to let you know that coming up in about 20 minutes' time, Barry Jackson will join us from the Miami Herald. Stay tuned here on 560 WQAM. Radio.com. Radio.com.
That's the plan. I swear, I'll streak down Biscayne Boulevard in front of American Airlines Arena.
Whoa. Are we saving this tape here?
Hey, Dan Day, listen to this part, too. I will pull a beast if I have to and get out of the bet.
I'm not as excited about it, considering the very last part of that. But
oh, man.
I got to admit, I wasn't all that excited about it.
I was going to say, nobody wants to see me
actually
streaking.
Seeing you streak. But nobody wants to see me streak. The idea of you streaking, that to me was intriguing just to know that you were going to do it. But I have to admit, I don't want to be there to see it.
No, I'm there Facebook Live and Instagram Live and Twitter Live.
And that's why you can't do it any days, because now everyone wants a videotape and put it online. Like back in the day, we could do it whenever we wanted to because there was no online stuff.
No online stuff. You didn't necessarily have the threat of security cameras everywhere.
Exactly.
Right. Now, yeah. Now there are plenty of ways you can incriminate yourself.
Nah.
Yeah.
Not anymore there. But before, oh yeah, man. Good times.
So it's safe to say, though, that you were referencing a potential Bradley Beal trade or acquisition. So like if it's a three-way deal with the Wizards, the Thunder, and the Heat, and somehow they get Beal, that you are going to be thrilled to the point where you would consider streaking.
Definitely.
Okay.
It's just something about you talking about nudity, three-way deals, and Heat. It just kind of, if you're listening casually, you're like, wait, what in the world is Likens talking about
today? What
are
they talking about over there?
Yeah, we took a strange turn here.
That sounds like a great weekend in South Beach right there, yeah. Boy.
NBA
streaking,
off-season.
Three-way, and Heat?
NBA offseason continues to deliver in more ways than one. My goodness. That's Brian Monroe, Greg Likens, Dan Day with you here in for Hawk and Crowder as we'll be taking up till 6 o'clock. Chris Whittingham will be here at 6. He'll take you till 10. We have a news report here. Chili Willie is back, and he'll be producing the show tonight from 6 to 10. I don't know. We don't have official word on how he's feeling, but Chili Willie was in the hospital on and off this week. So anyway, we hope he's doing all right. He's a trooper. He's here at work. Between him showing up from the hospital and Dan Day working an 8-hour double shift, we have some real hardworking people here around this station specifically. I can't speak for the other stations in our cluster, but here at QAM, I certainly can vouch for everybody. So good work by those out there. Meanwhile, we got a bunch of people texting in, as you can imagine, Brian, with all different types of opinions on Russell Westbrook trade that did not happen for the Heat, the Chris Paul trade possibility, and really what the Heat should do moving forward. With that in mind, you can send those in. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line 560-22. 560-22 is how you reach us. We got a text here that says, this is from our buddy Reggae Man. He says, Greg, listening to you guys speculating, it brings a big old smile to my face. How did Pat Don Data Riley can acquire Jimmy Butler again? Don't forget, they had no cap space and no assets. I guess reiterating the fact that anything is possible with Pat Riley. But I'll say this, Reggae Man, I'm with you, and like we should appreciate that, no doubt about it. And I will also say that if the Chris Paul trade goes by the wayside, the Heat no longer in it, and we just can look at the roster the way it's going to be and kind of have that finalized, I think that's when we'll really be able to look back and appreciate what's happened.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I don't want to necessarily rely on that happening again.
No.
That's my point. It's like I would prefer the other way Riley's gone about in the past, where he cleared all the books for the summer of 2010 in order to, you know, I don't know if he knew it was going to happen this way. In a way, there's some luck involved and some influence from Dwayne Wade behind the scenes. But bottom line is he set himself up for one of the biggest acquisitions of talent in any offseason in any sport, and it worked. I'd rather go that route this time than, you know, the Jimmy Butler route's nice, but I'd like to be set up for 2021 and have that flexibility.
Agreed. Yeah, couldn't agree more.
All right, we got some more text rolling in here. Somebody says, I know a lot of us were saying yesterday to do whatever it takes to get Russell Westbrook, but then after you take a look at the big picture and what we would have to give up and what we would be limited to in 2021, I think Pat Riley made the right decision. Okay, so we got some people who are okay with it. Somebody says, hey, guys, we are all saying it's a great deal for OKC. What if they can't trade Paul and have to pay him $124 million? Is it still a great trade? Well, here's the only part about that, is that they were going to have to pay Russell Westbrook. They're going to have to pay somebody. Now, you could argue, could they have traded for some expiring contracts and they'd be out from under the financial burden sooner? Yes. At the same time, with Chris Paul, it's a year less on the contract. So if they still have to pay him, it's not ideal, but they get the draft picks that they can start building a young nucleus moving forward. And, you know, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is there as well, so they still have some other young players too. But, you know, I understand the Texas point. If they can't flip Chris Paul, it's not, it probably doesn't look as good as we thought at first, but it's still not terrible for them.
No.
I get back to something we talked about in the first hour of the show. Like, for everybody who's praising Sam Presti, and to a certain degree, rightfully so, it's like he also is the guy who hasn't been able to get the most out of not one, not two, but three league MVPs at one time being on his roster.
Yeah, and then also all-stars like Victor Oladipo that were there as well and
Paul
didn't
George.
Stay around. Paul George, it's like, oh, my God. I get the praise of you draft well, but what about keeping the guys there? Success with your superstars. I think any team out there would love to try to fail with Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and KD as youngsters and in their prime. I think they would love to fail or try to fail and have that much talent on the roster at once. But he's lucky he's in a small market. That way he doesn't get bashed and ran through the media scrutiny.
We got another one that says, guys, you're all spoiled and overreacting. I'd rather not get CP due to his age, but you guys are making it sound like Westbrook was going to make us a championship team, and he's not. He cannot shoot, but yes, he's intense, and it averages a triple-double, but not sure how that would mesh with Butler. Let's relax and build something with Butler. Lastly, my issue here is not these, PG point guard. It sounded like we're still on the hook for Deion and JJ, and that's going to hold us back. Okay. Yeah, I mean, listen, despite all of the positive developments for the Miami Heat, you still cannot mask the fact that you have some bad contracts on the books. And that's just the bottom line. So you weren't going to be able to move on from all of them. They did a terrific job getting rid of Hassan Whiteside. And, you know, with James Johnson and Deion Waiters, you one more season with them. And then next offseason, you still have a year left, but they'll be in contract years. And so if you can trade Whiteside in a contract year, I can imagine it'll be easier to trade. By the way, Whiteside was making $27.1 million, or is going to make. James Johnson's averaging $15 million a year. Deion Waiters a little less than that. The grand scheme of things in the NBA, it's hurting the Heat salary cap situation, but it's not like they have outrageous contracts compared to some of these guys who are now signing for $40 million a year.
Especially if Danny Green can get $15 million this offseason.
So, like, all of the perspective on these contracts changes every year as the salary cap rises and the new market is set in the league. So that's worth mentioning as well. Hey, Brian, we've been referencing this guy throughout the week. He's been all over the Westbrook trade situation, the Chris Paul trade situation. That's Barry Jackson from the Miami Herald. He's going to join us next. Stay tuned here on QAM. Radio.com.
Radio.com.
We're back here on 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Brian Monroe in for Hawk and Crowder on this Friday. And right now we're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline where you can shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. That's where we find Barry Jackson, who covers everything on the South Florida sports scene for the Miami Herald. You can read his Florida Sports Buzz column in the Herald. Of course, follow him on Twitter at FLA Sports Buzz. He joins us from Las Vegas, where he's covering the Summer League, but he has been all over everything involving the Heat with these potential trades. Barry, thank you for joining us. How's everything going out in Vegas?
Hi, Greg. Good to be with you guys. It's hot as heck, 115 today.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, you are in the desert, and yeah, the Summer League, it's called summer for a reason out there. My goodness.
Barry, they got some good pool parties if you want to cool off now. You know what I'm saying?
There is no time for that, Brian. Between first Westbrook and now Chris Paul, it's glued to the hotel and the arena.
Hey, hit up Wet Republic. You might see some of those guys out there and get the scoop. I'm just saying.
All right. Brian might have some inside information for you, one of the pool parties. Barry, we'll get to it. You just posted a new article. I want to talk to you about Chris Paul in a moment. But first, for somebody who's been covering this story so closely with the Heat talking to the Thunder about Russell Westbrook, what was your reaction when the news came down last night that the Thunder struck a deal with the Rockets instead of the Miami Heat?
Well, it made sense to me at that point that they didn't accept the Heat's offer, because if you're going to get a player who's still obviously a very good player in Chris Paul, albeit one with an onerous contract, plus two first-round picks, which we know Oklahoma City values above everything else. And I certainly can understand OKC doing that instead of a Heat offer of a couple of contracts plus perhaps one young player. The Heat might have done Justice Winslow. They certainly were not willing to do Tyler Hero. They were not willing to do two among Hero, Bam Adebayo, and Winslow. And Miami, by NBA rule, could not trade a first-round pick to Oklahoma City because they've committed picks 7 years out. You can't have a pick going to another team beyond 7 years by NBA rule. So I can understand OKC taking Houston's offer, and I totally understand and agree with Riley's decision not to make Hero available and not to make Bam available either. So I can understand it from both sides. It would have been great to have Westbrook here because it would have made the Heat more relevant. It would have put you in the discussion for seeds 3, 4, and 5, but it's certainly understandable why it didn't work out.
Yeah, and it makes sense. Brian and I were talking about it. That is a more attractive offer from the Rockets, considering everything you just described. With that in mind, now Chris Paul is with the Thunder, but it doesn't sound like he's going to be there for very long if they have their way. You have an update on this, because certainly the national reporters have said, hey, the Heat are having conversations, and we've been talking about your tweet, and now you have a story about it. I encourage everybody to check that out for MiamiHerald.com. But where do things stand between the Heat and the Thunder as it pertains to Chris Paul?
Yes. Well, someone involved portrayed it to me that the Heat does not have strong interest. There is no aggressive pursuit, but at the same time, it cannot entirely be ruled out because Miami is doing due diligence. They are kicking the tires on it. It's a question of would OKC overwhelm Miami and give them enough incentive to take on a contract that would basically take them out of max free agency in 2021. Now, there would be a way around it. You could potentially do a trade for 2021 free agent a year in advance, 6 months in advance, but at the same time, you basically would be sacrificing your ability to sign a max free agent that summer by taking on Chris Paul. The Heat's aware of that. They'd be reluctant to do it unless Oklahoma City absolutely made it worth their while. So I cannot by any means rule it out, but I was told today that this is not something that the Heat is aggressively pursuing. This is something that Oklahoma City is pursuing to try to rid themselves of the last 3 years and $124 million of his contract.
Now, with the Heat, might not be a player in the 2021 if they bring on the Chris Paul deal. Let me ask you two questions. Would you want Chris Paul on the Heat team, and you think that's a good deal? And what would it take for you to say, okay, that was a good deal for the Heat to get back from OKC?
Brian, I think it'd be a mistake to pursue because I do not want to leave myself in a position where the only way I would get a free agent who's an elite player over the next 3 years would be hoping that they're willing to do a sign and trade with you. I just don't think what you get from Chris Paul at this stage of his career is worth sacrificing that kind of freedom. And not because Chris Paul hasn't been a terrific player. He clearly has been. 9-time All-Star, 4-time All-NBA first team, although not since 2014. Which is a long time for that honor. The issue is he's 34, He's due a ton of money, and he's not durable. He's missed 26 and 30 games over the last 3 years. So I just think it would be a mistake to pursue. The only thing that I would consider, and I'm not even certain I would do it, would be if OKC gave you back the two first-round picks that they now own in 2021 and 2023 and took three contracts the Heat does not want, James Johnson certainly among them, and then an expiring contract. Obviously, the Heat's not looking to trade Dragic, but that would be logical to be included if you did do a Chris Paul deal. But at the same time, it's difficult for me to envision Sam Presti agreeing to that because he values hoarding draft picks more than anything in this rebuilding process. So the notion of him giving the Heat back the 2021 and 2023 picks just seems highly unlikely to me. But we'll see. Until Paul is sent somewhere, the Heat will remain a possibility. But what's clear is that they are not pursuing it with the verve and the fervor that they did with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, I was looking at it and saying the only way that I would take on CP3 is if they were giving me enough back that I could flip that for Bradley Beal.
Right, and there's no indication that Washington wants to trade Beal. I ran an update on that today where the Athletic in Washington, D.C. spoke to Tommy Shepard, the Wizards' director of basketball operations, who said basically what we've been hearing, that Washington has no intention of trading Beal at this time. And even though there is sentiment inside the Heat to take on Wall's $172 million in order to get Beal, Washington's not even considering that at this time. Now, that to me, that would change only if Beal tells them, I'm not resigning in 2021. So in that scenario, I could see possibly the Heat having an opportunity next summer. But the question at that point is if it would require, Tyler Hero or Bam Adebayo going back, what would even be the point of doing it next summer? Why not just wait until free agency in 2021? So I don't see anything happening with Beal this summer. And whether it happens before 2021 is completely dependent on whether he tells the Wizards he intends to stay or not stay.
Barry Jackson joining us, of course, covers everything on the South Florida sports scene for the Miami Herald. He's out in Las Vegas covering Summer League and really everything NBA because that's the epicenter of the NBA universe, at least during this couple-week period. Barry, you've been out there all week watching this Heat Summer League team perform. How impressed have you been by Tyler Hero and some of these other young players that are looking to make an impact and potentially be on the roster for the upcoming season?
It's funny, Greg, with Tyler Hero, because I don't think a player who's shooting less than 40% from the field can be more impressive than what he has. I mean, if you look at the raw numbers, 39% from the field, 33% from threes, and yet, even though that's not highly efficient, you come away from watching the guy saying, this guy can play. He can fill the box score. He rebounds well for his size. His playmaking and passing have been terrific. Now, there is some sloppiness with some of his passes, but his lobs have been great. He's sharp. He's alert. He has good instincts. He's got a moxie to his game. And so everyone with the Heat is thoroughly impressed with how he's done. I think he's exceeded their expectations from some of the feedback that I get. And so he's been an unquestioned success story. And remember, even though his shooting percentage isn't great, he's still averaging 19 a game, and he's 24 for 25 on free throws. Beyond him, clearly the other great story from summer has been Kendrick Nunn. And this was a terrific pickup because they signed him hours before the regular season finale on April 10th. And the opportunity was there because Golden State did not have the roster space to sign him from their summer league team. They needed Andrew Bogut and other players to fill out their roster for a playoff run. So the Heat seized on that. They signed Kendrick Nunn. He's been terrific offensively, very good defensively, a pest against opposing point guards and shooting guards. He's distributed the ball really well. He's clearly an NBA player. The question at this point is, does he eventually get into an NBA rotation? But I would say he'd be near certain to be on your team next year.
Yeah, it's great to see some of these young players and the possibilities there. Now, with that in mind, Barry, I saw you tweet about this as well. The Miami Hurricanes have been well represented in the Summer League, huh?
Yes, Lonnie Walker has been terrific. I saw part of his game the other day that DeJuan Hernandez played in before I talked to DeJuan. And what a dynamic offensive player. We saw only glimpses of it, guys, during his 1 year at Miami because he was here such a short time and then the quick exit from the NCAA tournament. But he could be the Spurs' best player in 4 years. I don't think anyone would be shocked if that happened. And then Bruce Brown got a very good floor game. He's leading Summer League in assists at 8.3 a game for Detroit. DeJuan has had some good moments. He was telling me just what a strange year it has been, what a journey in terms of being suspended by the NCAA, but then being drafted, which surprised a lot of people considering his year out of the game. So several good Kane stories here in Vegas.
Yes, to be sure. Barry Jackson joining us here from the Miami Herald. He's out in Las Vegas covering the Summer League. Barry, getting back to the Heat in the Eastern Conference, I know you just posted an article about this as well, but you know, assuming, and we don't know, lots of things can change. If that's something we've learned very well over the last 3 weeks in the NBA, that sudden change happens quickly. But if the Heat don't make a Chris Paul deal and their roster is what we think it's going to be with Jimmy Butler leading the way, how good do you think this Heat team can be in the upcoming season?
I would say a ceiling maybe of 46 wins, and I'm not even convinced they get to that point, because here's how I look at it. You're obviously adding the best player you've had in your franchise for years, you know, knowing that the Wade you had the last couple of years wasn't an Ennis Prime Wade. So that's clearly meaningful. But you're losing three of your best six players, and you can make the case three of your best five players with Richardson, Wade, and Whiteside, who's the only player other than Wade who's ever led the league in anything who played for the Heat last year. So I wouldn't sell that short. And obviously, you gain Hero, but you don't know what he's going to do as a rookie. So I think they're slightly improved. I don't think they're dramatically improved. I still think they're probably in the range of 7th or 8th in the East, competing with Detroit and Orlando, maybe the Knicks. We'll see if Indiana falls back to that range because of Oladipo's health issues. He's not going to be back for a couple of months into the season. We'll see if Toronto falls back into that range too. But remember, guys, they were 17-5 without Kawhi Leonard last year. So I'm not convinced that Toronto is going to fall to 7 or 8. They might stay, you know, in the 3-5 range. So I think the Heat's a playoff team, but I'm certainly not going to go out and bet any sum of money on it.
Yeah, all really good points, Barry. Real quickly, before we let you run, we talked yesterday at length about, and we kind of emanated from your article about the Miami Hurricanes quarterback situation, and Brian was giving his thoughts on that. But, you know, you made some really interesting notes about that. And what, in your mind, for those who haven't read the article, will be the primary factors for Manny Diaz and really Dan Enos in determining who will be the starter for the Miami Hurricanes?
I'd say accuracy and decision-making primarily. I mentioned to someone that I thought mobility would give Martell an advantage, and I was warned not to overstate that, that it would essentially come down to those two issues. And Nkosi was the best coming out of spring. He won the spring MVP award. So I said to a couple of UN people, doesn't that make him the favorite? And they said, I'm telling you, the job is wide open. And Diaz has said publicly that this is even, that this is going to be an even race coming into July 25th. Everyone's going to get a fresh start. So I would make Nkosi the slightest of favorites, which means nothing, essentially, because he can easily be overtaken by Martell or even by Jaren Williams in spring. What I found interesting was Dan Enos said they'd like to cut from 3 to 2 fairly quickly. So I think whoever is the least impressive of the group in the first week of camp probably will be eliminated. The concern there, though, would be if it's not Martell who's eliminated, then, you know, if it's Jaren Williams, does he go transfer with a month to find another school?
Barry, great insight as always. You've been really prolific with a bunch of articles you've been posting. So thank you very much for taking the time. I know you've been really busy, and we'll continue to monitor everything you're writing in the Miami Herald. Of course, you on Twitter as well at FLA Sports Buzz. Thanks so much, Barry.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Brian.
Appreciate it.
All right, there he is. Barry Jackson joining us here. Covers everything in the South Florida sports scene for the Miami Herald. Read his work, the Florida Sports Buzz column in the Herald, of course. Follow him on Twitter at FLA Sports Buzz, as I just mentioned. So, yeah, I mean, it didn't sound like Barry's going to take you up on the pool party idea, but
nah, I don't see Barry being much of a pool party guy, but hey, like the rest of us, he can use a little bit of a tan, man, and enjoy it out there. It's hot. You got to get into that cold water.
It is really hot. 115 degrees. My goodness.
It's a different hot, though.
It is. Yeah, my parents live in Arizona, so I've been out there in the summer, and, you know, it gets up to 110, 115,
yeah.
And, you know, it's the humidity is non-existent.
Try.
So it feels like a sauna.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I would say in the 90s here is comparable in terms of as far as the heat index and like the intensity. But out there, it's an intense heat. Here, though, with the humidity, I mean, it's
miserable. That's what it is.
It's comparable in terms of the misery.
Yeah, the humidity takes the winds out of your sails. But if you have no humidity, you can kind of still
Well, the no humidity thing in Vegas that always used to get to me was my nose would always be dried out. And on the plane ride home, I'm just messing with my nose the whole time. I'm like, yo, what is going on?
That and the chapped lips. And
well, I always keep chapstick on me. That's one of the three things I always bring with me when I leave the house.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wallet, phone, chapstick.
Leave that to the end of the show to drop that bomb on
Come on now, man, for the ladies.
That was your Monroe water balloon?
That's a water droplet.
Okay. That's a little minor thing there. Okay. Hey, a big thanks to Barry Jackson for joining us. That was a great way to wrap up the program. Brian, it's been fun the last three days.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, man. I'm sure we'll be seeing each other very soon. I know you're traveling next week.
Safe travels for your trip because you're leaving before me.
You're being covering the Big Ten Media Days for football. I'll be covering the SEC Media Days for football. So you hear us on the various stations here from different locations. Looking forward to that. Dan Day, thank you for working the double shift with us today. Did the midday and then the afternoon. We misspoke earlier, and we apologize. Larry Bluestein is coming up next.
Oh.
And this is just Larry Bluestein doing a show. This isn't a high school sports show. This is going to be Blue, unfiltered for 4 hours. You won't want to miss it from 6 to 10. He's got a great guest list coming up, including Armando Salguero, among others. Make sure you stay tuned. He and Chili Willie coming up next. Everybody who listened to the show, we appreciate it. Everybody who texted in, have a great weekend. Larry Bluestein coming up next.
What's the word I want to use for him that, you know, doesn't get me in trouble, but
he seems like a little bit of a punk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.